Have you ever been standing in faith for healing, but it seems like it's taking forever? Right? I know that's happened to me many times, and the real question is, right, what do I do about it? So that's what today's message is going to be. I'll see you here in just a moment. Welcome to Charis Daily. My name is Daniel Bennett, and it's great to see you all. I probably won't be one of the regulars on this show, but I'll be here every now and then, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited about this. The topic today is what to do when your healing is taking forever, right? Sometimes, you know, you may have experienced this. Sometimes it seems like you receive what you're believing God for right away, and other times it seems like it could take weeks or months or years, things like that. And really, this could apply to any topic. You know, really, a lot of the things I'm going to share could apply to finances, relationships, peace, emotions, your calling, your destiny, marriage, anything really, anything that you're standing in faith for God for, any promise from God that you're standing in faith for. But I want to focus in on healing specifically. But again, if what you need is more one of those other topics, you can just replace healing with those other topics. And so healing can sometimes be one of the ones that's more, it feels more pressing, right? I mean, we know God wants us to be healed right now, so it can be a combination of frustration or disappointment or discouragement, different things. We can get attacked in different ways when we don't see it right away, right? Hope deferred can make the heart sick. So I want to talk about that. Our first scripture for the day is Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. So it says, "Let us not grow weary in doing well and doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Right, so you may know that scripture already, but we don't want to grow weary in this. We don't want to just give up and say, well, this didn't happen immediately, so I give up. It didn't work. No, we know the word is true. I'll get to that here in a little bit, because this is really, it's not about talking about the problem itself, but what do we do in this kind of situation? So we don't want to lose heart. We don't want to grow weary in standing in faith for the promises that God's promised us, right? We know that sickness isn't from God. If you've been watching any of the other instructors talk about healing, you've heard a lot of this stuff, right? So I want this. I want it now. God wants me to have it now. He wants me to be healed more than I want to be healed. Okay. But yet, if you combine this with Proverbs 13, verse 12, it says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick," right? So sometimes if our hope is deferred, it can start to nag at us and saying, I'm standing in faith and it hasn't happened yet. It could be many things, right? It could be you're believing God to conceive, right? You know, maybe you and your spouse are believing God in faith to have a child. And I know that some people go through that situation where they're waiting and waiting and waiting, and you're tempted to become heartsick or, you know, again, any promise that you want. It could be a wide variety of things. Sometimes what happens is that the lack of progress can hurt more than the original thing you were standing in faith for, right? Sometimes if you don't see what you're standing in faith for happen when you wanted it to happen, when God wants it to happen, that delay can actually hurt your heart even more if we don't guard our hearts, because we can get discouraged, and that discouragement might last 20 years even though you already overcame the thing that originally took too long. I'm not addressing the problem yet. I'm just kind of trying to connect, see if you relate to this problem at all. Right, what can happen sometimes is that if hope deferred creates a crack in our foundation, that can start to grow over time if we don't approach it the right way. And so that's, again, what I want to talk about is, what do we do about this? How do we make sure it doesn't start creating cracks in our foundation? It doesn't turn into a hurt that grows and grows and grows and starts to affect our trust in God or things like that, right? If a crack grows too much, it could grow into a much bigger problem than it ever should have been or ever needed to be, right? Things that used to be solid might start to crumble if we let a crack go unchecked. So this is a really big deal. It's not just, well, get over it. Just wait and hang on there, right? No, well, how do we handle this when we're standing in faith and we don't know how to handle this, right? Do I keep asking, or does that mean lack of faith? Do I just keep thanking God? Am I doing this wrong? All these kinds of things that can come up. I've seen two common responses when somebody's standing in faith for their healing and they don't see it happen right away. So one common response, these aren't the only two, but one common response is that we grit our teeth and just hang in there. I'm not going to change my mind, and I'm just going to hang on for dear life and wait this thing out through willpower or just, you know, holy stubbornness. So that's one approach. And there's a good way and a not so good way, right? If it turns into just, if it turns into just waiting through willpower, that's not the same as standing in faith. So there's a healthy version and an unhealthy version of doing that. The second response I see sometimes is people get discouraged. They're like, you know what? I'm just going to believe God for other things. I don't care about this one anymore. I don't want anyone to pray for me, things like that. So that's a problem, right? We want to receive everything that God has for us, right? We know from John 10, verse 10, we don't need to look that one up, but, you know, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We know that's not from God. That's the thief. Jesus wants us to have abundant life. Look at that. It's on the screen. It's amazing. So Nehemiah 8, verse 10, the second half of that says, the joy of the Lord is our strength, right? He says, do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. So if we give up our joy, if we lose our joy, we're losing our strength. And that's a serious problem, because if we're standing in faith and because we don't see it happening fast enough, we start to get discouraged. Discouragement is not joy. And so now we're losing our strength, and our strength, right, is how we overcome in this world, right? It's we have the strength of the Lord, His joy in our hearts. And so if we're only hanging on through our willpower, that's not the same as joy. And if we're discouraged, that's not the same as joy. And so we want to genuinely walk in God's joy, and we'll get better results that way. If we're walking God's joy, we're not allowing these arrows from the enemy to say, are you sure it's going to happen? Are you sure that promise is real? Things like that. So again, if you have no joy, you have no strength. If you have no strength, the enemy can start attacking you in even more ways. So now let's talk about the solution. I've talked about the problem long enough. I don't like to focus on that too much other than to identify what we want to solve. So the first tip I have for you, if your healing is taking forever or any other promise is taking forever, is don't focus on blame. This is a huge temptation, is it's not working. Whose fault is it? And really, that's the first thing we see happen when sin entered the world, is that the focus shifted to whose fault is this, right? In Genesis chapter 3, and we won't look that one up, but if you look at the story of creation and the fall, in Genesis chapter 3, what's the first thing Adam says when God says, why did you do this, Adam? He says, it's the woman's fault who you gave me. So it's her fault and your fault. It's not my fault. So immediately, Adam starts blaming other people. The woman says, well, no, it's this person's fault. Everyone starts pointing fingers. And so it's the serpent's fault, it's the woman's fault, it's God's fault, all these different things. So focusing on blame is part of the fall. And sometimes it's very tempting to say, I'm trying to figure out where things are going wrong, so I need to figure out who to blame. And we're shifting our focus and becoming accusers. And that's not how you walk in greater promises, right? And saying, was it my fault, your fault, their fault, God's fault? And we start looking at all the blame and getting mad at people and offended at people and things like that. That's a very natural response. And I mean natural in a fallen sense, right? It's a natural carnal response to immediately look for blame. Now, there's a healthy version of this of saying, is this something in my control or not, right? So it's not always wrong to try and say, is there something I could do about this? But I'm saying there's this natural desire to immediately start pointing fingers and blaming other people when we don't see what we want to see. You know, people do this all the time. You see this happen in politics and in churches and government and countries, all this stuff, right? Things aren't going the way I think they should go. Whose fault is it? Instead of saying, how do we solve this problem? It's so easy just to say, who's to blame? Even at work, you know, it's the natural instinct is, well, whose fault? And really, in a healthy environment, you don't focus so much on, you know, I don't care who messed up. I want to figure out how do we make sure this doesn't happen again. And yeah, maybe there's place to find out if somebody made a mistake or there's a misunderstanding somewhere, things like that. So there's place for that. But just automatically attacking people doesn't solve the problem. And so even attacking yourself, right? Even if you say it's my fault and I'm worthless and it's, you know, I just don't have enough faith. I'm not good enough. There's no way that I could ever receive promises from God, right? There's these spirals that are not from God. That's not how God ministers to us, is by encouraging us to become introspective and blaming ourselves. You know, it's a very fallen way of thinking. Is it God's fault? Is it your fault? Is it someone else's fault? Right? People go very extreme with this stuff and say, well, is it because there's secret sin in your life? You know, there's some circles of Christians where if you say, you know, if you're believing and you know, believing for healing or something like that, they'll say, well, it's because you sinned. There's secret sin in your life. Oh, you must have had that coming. You must have done this, must have done that. And that's just not... it's not the right approach to just immediately jump to blame, right? That's how you see Job and his friends, where his friends immediately jumped on him and said, it must be your fault. because bad things only happen to bad people. You had to do something bad or this wouldn't happen. And we live in a fallen world. Not everything that happens is because somebody just earned it. There's things that happen just because we live in a fallen world. I'll talk about that more in a little bit. Again, if you blame yourself, you may ask yourself things like, do I not have enough faith? Did I not spend enough time in the Word? Did I not tithe? Did I not give? And you're blaming yourself for all these things. Am I just faking it? Am I in faith or am I in doubt, right? You start to tear yourself down, right? The enemy can delay us one little bit and suddenly we just run with it. We just tear ourselves down. And that's not the way we want to go about it. You know, many times I've found, okay, I'm going to skip this part. Okay, I'll summarize it because I hate to do that to people. But many times people who struggle with condemnation also struggle with judging others, because usually you treat people the way you treat yourself. So if you notice that you're harsh toward others and the minute something bad happens to them, you say it must be because of this, must be because of that, they don't actually have faith, you're probably doing the same thing to yourself. Where if you don't see the result, you're holding yourself to a standard, you're beating yourself up, and that's not the key to victory. That's not how God wants to treat you. That's not how He parents us. So again, don't forget, who's the accuser of the brethren? Being an accuser is aligning yourself with the devil, because he's the accuser. And so we don't want to step into his role and say, well, I didn't see the result, so I'm going to become the accuser. Or, oh, you messed up, something bad happened to you, I'm going to start accusing you. Again, there's place for doing some discovery in a healthy way, but it's very minimal compared to how much people often gravitate toward this. So again, first of all, if we think it's God's fault when we play the blame game, we're wrong. He wants you to be healed more than you want to be healed. He paid the price for all of this, right? So we need to know that He is never the weak link in the chain. He's not the one holding back. He's not saying you're not good enough, you messed up, this will teach you something, you deserve it. Things like that. That's not how God operates. He's a loving Father. He corrects us with His Word. He doesn't correct us with sickness and disease and lack and bad things happening to our loved ones. That's not what He's like. You just don't see that in the Word. Again, you can refer back to John 10:10. So, you know, if we're playing the blame game, you know, sometimes it is good to know, is there something we can do about it? But not in a, and not just in an accusatory way, but just in a helpful way. Is there something I can do about this? Am I doing something that I could do differently? Again, focusing on blame is a trap, and you don't want to fall for it. And one of the ways I can prove this, right, is that Jesus never did this. You never see Jesus focusing on blame. That's not how He set people free. You know, if you think about it, blame is really a form of legalism. Because what you're saying is, if doing bad things earned you that bad thing to happen, or if not doing enough good things earned you this, or if not doing enough good things is what's causing you to not receive these promises, what you're doing is you're going into an earning mindset. And that's what legalism is all about, is that you have to earn God's love, you have to earn God's promises. So it's just an unhealthy way to live. You don't want to step into legalism. Again, if you naturally start accusing people when they don't see results in their lives, or if you start accusing yourself when you don't see results in your life, that very likely is a form of legalism, and you want to be free from that. So you want to step back into grace and just say, this is because of who God says I am. I am who God says I am. I receive what He wants to give me, things like that. Right, John chapter 9, verse 2, we see an example of this. So His disciples asked Him, saying, Rabbi, Who sinned this man or his parents that he was born blind? So you see here that natural carnal way of thinking. Whose fault is it? And Jesus, what did He say? Neither, in verse 3. He answered and said, Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of Him who sent me while it is the day. The night is coming when no one can work. So they were focusing on whose fault is this? You never see Jesus interrogate people about their sin, about their holiness, about their good works, things like that, to determine if He would heal them. So you came to me, I'm going to heal you. So you need to come to Him, right? There's plenty of people He didn't heal because there were multitudes who never came to Him. But the ones who did come to Him, He healed them. He never interrogated them, interviewed them, questioned them, and found out, like, do you meet my criteria for me to heal you? Now, they did come to Him, or someone else came to Him on their behalf. And so, again, that's what's interesting. He's saying it's not because He sinned or His parents sinned, right? We live in a fallen world. There's things that are negative in this world that aren't a direct result of a specific person. They're a result of what Adam did, right? The god of this earth is the devil. You know, that's why Jesus said, you know, thy will, right, to the Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, because by default, that's not what automatically happens. We're the light of the world. The world is dark. It's fallen. Adam gave it to the devil. That's a whole different topic. But yeah, if you don't know much about that, you can dive in here. You can look up Andrew's teachings on the war is over and other things like that. So again, Jesus was saying it's not about blaming somebody. I'm here to do the works of my Father. See, some people look at that and say, well, God made him sick so Jesus could show off. It's not what it's saying. It's saying the works of him who sent me are healing him. If he's saying, oh, well, God's the one who makes people sick, then he would say the works of him who sent me is to go around making people sick because that'll teach them something. So that's just not how it works. Another example here, Luke 13, starting in verse 2, it says, Jesus answered and said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? Right? Something bad happened to them. They got killed. And so he's saying, do you think they were worse than everyone else? Verse 3, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they're worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Right, so saying these two tragedies, some people getting killed and a tower falling on top of people, do you think it's because they were worse sinners than everybody else? He's saying, no. Sometimes bad things just happen because we live in a fallen world. That's why Jesus is trying to save us, and eventually he's going to destroy this world and create a new one, because this is a fallen world. So he's saying it's not because they earned it or deserved it more than anybody else. He says God makes it to rain on the just and the unjust. God loves everybody. He wants everybody to be saved. Not everybody receives that. Not everybody receives salvation. Not everybody receives healing, but God wants that for everybody. We just happen to live in a fallen world where people have free will. And some things that are negative happen because people chose to do negative things. Other things are just because we live in a fallen world where there's sin and sickness and confusion and darkness and things like that. Again, we're the light of the world so we can overcome these things. But by default, the world is crumbling, right? Things are happening in the world that God doesn't want to happen to us. And he wants us to be the light who overcomes this. So again, we live in a fallen world. Some people who have a pillar fall on them, you know, may have been righteous or unrighteous. Some people who, right, it's not about that. There's things that happen in the world that are negative. Again, if somebody has an accident happen to them or something bad happens or sick or a deformity or something like that, that is not from God. If you say, it must be because of sin, it must be because they deserve it. They say, no, everybody was born lost and in darkness. They didn't earn it. It's just something that came into the world because of Adam. And so again, don't focus on the blame, because you see, Jesus was not focused on the blame. He was focused on the solution, saying, who cares where this came from? We know all of this ultimately came from sin, and Jesus is light. He's life, right? We're a body, right? The body, you know, if you're a Christian, you're part of the body of Christ. So if a pillar falls on my foot, I don't look at my foot and say, wow, foot, you really let me down. You had that coming. No, the whole body suffers. So same thing, right? If somebody in the body of Christ is going through a hardship, we shouldn't look at them and say, wow, you really messed up. You deserve that. No, we say, no, we should all suffer together, right? We have compassion, so we're going to help lift you up. We should be looking out for each other, not condemning each other and pointing fingers. And again, I'm referring to other people, but many times this is doing it to ourselves, saying, wow, something bad happened to me. I must have done this. It must be my fault. And we get very focused on the blame. Why don't I have enough faith? Did I not confess enough? Did I not take enough authority? Whatever it is, that's not helpful. It's really not helpful to try and dissect how much you messed up. It's helpful to focus on the solution, not to tear yourself up because of the problem. So again, if your foot gets crushed by a pillar, you should help your foot recover, not condemn it. Because that's point number one, is don't focus on the blame. If your healing is taking forever, don't focus on the blame. Number two is don't let what you don't understand destroy what you do understand. All right, there's many things in this world that can happen, and we say, I don't really know exactly why that happened. Right? If you say, I believe in healing, I don't believe in getting sick, and you suddenly start coughing or sneezing or you have a pain in your body, don't let what you don't understand destroy what you do understand. So stand firm on what you know for a fact, what you know for sure. That's why it's so important to have a strong foundation in the Word. That's why feeding yourself in the Word, listening to good teachings, going to a good church, going to a Bible college perhaps, is so important, because you want that strong foundation in your heart so it's unshakable. Because otherwise, if you have a shaky foundation, the minute you get confused about something, everything will get destroyed. So I'll break this down here a little bit. Right. When you don't know what's going on or why something's not happening as fast as you want it to, what you want to do is focus on what you do know for a fact. Right? If you're fighting sickness, if you're standing in faith against something, if you're standing in faith for a promise and it's not happening, instead of focusing on blame, start focusing on what you know for a fact and say, well, I know for a fact that God is good. I know for a fact that God loves me. I know for a fact that He's provided all these things for me. I know for a fact, right? What do you know for sure that's unshakable? And stand on that. Instead of letting the enemy destroy you with what you're confused about, say, well, I don't know that, but I do know this. And that now gives you some leverage. Now you have a foundation where you can start figuring out how to move forward from that, right? Proverbs 18, verse 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Right, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. What do you use a strong tower for, right? You run there and hide when you're being attacked. Sometimes in life, things happen and we say, I don't know how this happened, right? This isn't what I believe in. This isn't what I know God has promised me. I don't know how it happened, right? I somehow got sucker punched by the enemy, right? Just because the thief has no authority doesn't mean he doesn't try to get away with stuff. Sometimes he'll try to get away with things. Again, a thief breaks the law, so he has no authority. And so sometimes the thief will sucker punch us, and we have to respond. Do we respond by saying, oh my goodness, the thief stole that from me. Maybe it was his all along. Maybe that doesn't belong to me. No, we don't want to question all that. We run back to our strong tower, say, well, I know for a fact that that's mine, and I'm going to fight to get that back. All right, so again, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe, right? Who is Jesus? What's his name, right? Who's his identity? Who is he? Who am I? Who has he made me, right? We want to focus on identity and not let the enemy just tear us apart. So again, you don't live always in a strong tower, right? If you have a strong tower, you still go outside of it and you go farming and you do other things. But when there's an attack, you run back to it. And again, the way I'm interpreting this is that, you know, you live your life in light and overflowing and love, but if there's ever a time where something happens that you did not want to happen, that's confusing to you, run back to the safety of what you know, right? When all else fails, I know God is good. I know He loves me. I know that He is love. And so I may not understand this situation right now, but I do know that, and I'm going to have that be my refuge. That's going to keep my heart protected in the midst of this storm that I don't understand right now. Again, this could be a relationship with your family. It could be your marriage. It could be, you know, something with your children. Or again, it could be physical stuff, all kinds of things. So same thing with God. You know, there might be areas where we're growing and we're starting to see some success and victory and walking in more life and more abundance. But if those ever come under attack, you run back to the stuff that you're rock solid in, where you say, I have no doubt in my mind that God loves me and He's good. I'm going to hang on to that for dear life while other things might be shaken in my life. And that will give me a position of strength to go back out there and conquer the enemy. So you run back to it. What do you know for a fact that nothing can shake, right? It's kind of like the spiritual armor. If all else fails, hang on to that helmet of salvation. Say, okay, I don't know what's going on here. A couple darts apparently got through. I must be believing a lie or two, but I know for a fact, right? I still got my helmet of salvation. I'm still saved. At the end of the day, I'm going to spend eternity with Jesus. I like Andrew often says, the worst that can happen is you go spend eternity with Jesus a little bit earlier. So at the end of the day, it's not that bad. You want to camp out there, right? Even if all you know is God is good, God is good. I don't know how this circumstance makes any sense right now, but I do know God is good. Hang on to that. From there, you start building and building and building, and you rebuild anything that's been torn down because He did overcome it all. It's never Him. Like I said, He's never the weak link. So it's not the enemy ever has authority to do that. I'm saying if he ever does get through, and because we don't have revelation in some area, or we accidentally believed a lie in some area or something like that, we live in a fallen world, some kind of crazy thing just happened and it caught us off guard, we run back to our safety and we rebuild from there. So yeah, you may say, I don't understand the storm, but I do know that God is good. Awesome. That's a good starting point. Yeah. So otherwise we get beat up. And we get beat up and beat up and beat up. And then we start to question and say, is God good? I don't know. Is He good? And so if you don't run into your strong tower, it's now vulnerable. So run back to your strong tower. Don't let those things shake. And so you don't want the enemy to start making you question the things that you know for a fact. Saying, am I healed? Is God good? Am I worthy? No, don't let those things be questioned. And you want to expand what you know for a fact, right? The more you grow and mature in the Lord, more things become rock solid where you're like, no, I can't be shaken on this or that or the other. Things like that. So again, like a fortress, like any fortress you see, you know, in movies, or if you've gone to old castles or something, typically a castle, there'll be a fortress will have an outer wall, then it has an inner wall, and then it has the castle itself, it has the tower itself. And so the more we mature in Christ, the stronger it all gets. But if the enemy ever somehow surprises us and, you know, we aren't paying attention, we maybe neglected some area of our life, and the enemy gets into some area where we weren't expecting, we'll go back to the things you know for sure. And if he keeps coming at you, you keep going back. I want to stand on a solid foundation, right? The unshakable rock. I want my house on the rock. So if all else fails, we know what we know for a fact. And so I'm going to share more on this in the next episode that I'm sharing with you guys also, but I'm going to go ahead and start right now. The third thing I recommend, if you don't know why your healing is taking forever, is to change lanes. What do I mean by that? Right, so I want to start with a couple analogies here real quick. So first of all, imagine you're driving down the street and there's four lanes and you're in one of the middle lanes. And suddenly there's a roadblock. You know, what do you do in the natural? If you're just driving down a road and you're in a lane that there's construction happening, what do? Change lanes, right? But you might say, yeah, but I really need to be in that lane, right? I need to be in the right lane because I'm going to turn. Okay, well, change lanes for now. And later on, once that clears up, you can get back into the lane you need to be in. Hope that makes sense. Well, what do I mean by that? Sometimes we can get so fixated on one topic. So you may say, I need healing for my left knee. And until I get healing for my left knee, all I'm going to study is healing. All I'm going to focus on is healing. Every time I talk with God, it's going to be about my left knee. It's the only thing I'm going to talk about, only thing I'm going to pray about, only thing I'm going to hope about. Every time I give, I'm going to give with that in mind. Every time I read, I'm going to read with that in mind, every conversation. And what are you doing? You're saying, I'm in this lane. I refuse to change out of this lane. And I'm going to focus even more because I'm not seeing the results that I want. So I hope that's helpful. We'll follow up on this more next time I'm with you. I do want to wrap up with a couple reminders here. If you'd like to call for prayer, we'd love to stand with you in faith for your healing or anything else. If you'd like prayer, you can call 719-635-1111. It's open 24/7. We have amazing prayer ministers there who can pray with you, pray for you, stand with you in agreement, all that. Can also get you resources and connected with the ministry. I also encourage you to go to charisdailygtn.com. And you can go there and you can get our free giveaway that's going on right now. If you're watching this as a rerun in the future, you can see what our current giveaway is at the time. But we have a free healing guide for you currently. And we also have other free resources. So I really encourage you to go to charisdailygtn.com to find out our free giveaway and other resources that we have. And also, again, this show is 7 days a week. I believe tomorrow is going to be Andrew, but whatever order you're watching this in, we have this going on 7 days a week. I encourage you to connect with us. Again, call in for prayer anytime. Find resources with us. So much out there that we just want to make available to you to help you out. So pray that you have a blessed day. And again, don't lose heart. Stand in faith. Don't give up what you know for a fact just because you're not seeing it fast enough. And have a blessed day. Thank you.